Hello, 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 everybody. Hey there, it's Connor. Before we jump into today's episode with legendary legend Jen Colella, I want to tell you that in addition to these weekly episodes where we interview the stars you know and love and the stars you don't even know yet, we have a Patreon, Drama Plus. If you go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, you can become a member of Drama Plus by spending $5 a month. And you get extra bonus episodes, you get added to our Instagram close friends, and these episodes are so fun. Dylan and I just chit chat with each other about theater, pop culture, love, and life. And then that close friends is so fun. And also, you're just supporting your favorite twins and your favorite podcast, obviously. All right, so go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, become a member of Drama Plus, and get ready for even more drama whenever you want it. All right, now please, please, please enjoy this chat with Jen Colella. I think you're gonna love it. Time for the show.
Press play.
Curtain of an hour in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, this is the last podcast that we're recording before you become a married woman.
That's crazy. I know. And I'll become Dylan Minor McDowell. So will the podcast name have to change?
You know what? This is I can't get into this right now. We haven't discussed this admin. So
I know.
I mean, definitely not, but we can just consider it. That's so crazy. I don't even think about how your last name's changing.
Me either. That's like something that we'll do later.
Will you change it legally?
I think that's the plan. Yeah.
Oh, not just professionally. Okay, cool. Will it change on like your Instagram, for example? Like, will you be Dylan Minor McDowell?
Much to think about. Probably like in like the name, not in like the handle.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I should see if it's available though.
This is a time capsule. Literally, I think the last podcast we record before you are married. So how are you feeling in this moment about a week and a half out?
I'm feeling amazing. I wish it was here already. And everything is done and ready, except for like one or two tiny things. And I'm also excited, Connor, for the surprises that you have no idea about, despite being my twin of honor.
Right. Okay. Yes. I know. Yeah, wait, this is insane, Dylan. I'm like having an out of body experience. It's going to be amazing. We will have to obviously report back on the wedding and everything once it's done. After you go on your mini moon or whatever you're calling it and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Dylan, I'm also having an out of body experience about today's podcast guest.
Well, yeah, it's been a day of kind of freaking out in like an excited way.
I know. I was listening to some of her greatest hits just before this.
Name them. Name one of the hits.
Well, obviously Me in the Sky from Come From Away, but the one that you and I have been obsessed with quietly forever, Too Tired from High Fidelity.
Oh, that's the one. That's the one right there.
The vocals, the song is so beautiful. Oh my God, it moved me.
I know. We have wanted to chat with this incredible icon for so long. Wait, a hidden memory is surfacing. We asked her years ago to come on the show, and she was in the midst of Suff's round one and politely said, I just listened to your interview with Rob McClure. Loved it. Let's chat later. And then it was like, you know, life got ahead of us. So she's no stranger to drama, I guess, at this point.
Oh, my God. That's like one of the best emails we ever received. So obviously it's in the Drama Hall of Fame. But okay, I'm gonna read a little intro, bring her in, and then we can get this going. But y'all, our guest today is a Tony Award nominated and Grammy Award winning actress, singer, professor, and icon. Over two decades, she's created unforgettable and indomitable musical roles in so many of our favorite shows. She's perhaps best known for her Tony nominated and Drama Desk and Outer Critics Circle Award winning turn as Captain Beverly Bass and Annette in Come From Away. She recently captivated audiences in her Drama League Award nominated turn as Carrie Chapman Cat in Suffs, with previous main STEM credits including If Then, Chaplin, High Fidelity, and Urban Cowboy. Additional stage appearances include Bebo Brinker Chronicles, Lucky Guy, Fun Home, Slut, Closer Than Ever, Peter Pan, and Sideshow. You'll recognize this star from television roles in Elspeth, The Beast of Me, Elementary, The Good Wife, The Code, and so many more. She's returning to 54 Below this March for what she's described as a very intimate evening of a lesbian singing show tunes. I mean, what could be better? She's literally mother, as well as a mom, to her precious daughter, a pillar of kindness in the Broadway community, and a proud wife. Please welcome to Drama, Jen Colella.
Wow. Talk about drama. That was an exquisite introduction. Thank you.
We're honored to have you, Jen.
I am honored to be here, my friends. Dylan, you're getting married.
I am. I didn't mention that up top, but.
Oh my gosh. I highly recommend 10 out of 10. No notes. Yeah. Marriage is the best. You're going to love it.
Thank you. Yeah. Any advice for me ahead of my wedding day?
You know what? I'm glad you asked because I've been married a couple times. I always joke that I love to propose. Love it when you propose.
That's the best part.
But you, during your wedding, it's going to feel like this is your life. It's like so many people from so many different facets of your life. If you can do your best, Dylan, to stay present with whomever is right in front of you, then it's actually going to slow things down and not feel like the whole thing is spinning out of control. Whomever's in front of you, whether it's a caterer or your eighth grade teacher, history teacher, that's the most important person in front of you. Just be there with them and it'll slow things down for you. It won't just fly by.
I really appreciate that because the number one thing everyone has said to me is it flies by. It flies by. It's like the fastest day of your life.
It doesn't have to.
Doesn't have to. All right. I'm gonna let you know how that goes for me. Thank you so
much.
Okay,
good.
I appreciate
it. Report back. Absolutely. Yes.
Now, Jen, you were nodding along. You have listened to an episode of Drama previously. This was years ago.
Absolutely. I remember very well. Of course I do. Of course I do. Rob McClure is one of my favorite people. And if someone asks me to be, you know, on their show, I like to see how they treat their guests and how they take care of their guests. And you gentlemen took such beautiful care of him that I knew that I would be back if you would have me.
Oh my goodness.
That makes me so happy. Okay, Jen, well, you were so sweet before we started recording to ask us about our twin relationship and our twin bonds. And that honestly means so much. And I've heard from everyone in the Broadway community that you are just this pillar of kindness. And it shows. It really shows. It means a lot to us when the curiosity comes through.
Absolutely. I mean, I like performing, but I like connecting with people even more. I think it's part of why I do what I do. We get the chance to meet so many extraordinary people. I learn so much from people. I think kindness is a beautiful pathway into present moment awareness. So it's a practice for me. I'm not always great at it. I always joke and say, ask my wife how great I am at it all the time. Obviously I have good days and bad days. But I believe in it very much. And I see that the two of you practice it as well. So I think those of us that try to make it a practice also find each other, right? We vibrate toward one another.
100%. Speaking of good days and bad days, Jen, we do like to check in with our guests and kind of meet them in the moment. Are you well?
I love that. You know, I like to ask people, how's your heart? Is your heart happy? Like, how is your heart? Am I well? I feel like I'm well. You know, I'm a little shaken up, obviously. I can't help but be affected by what's going on in the world right now and how scary it seems. And so I'm trying to stay present. You know who's helping me a lot with that is my two-year-old daughter, Morrison. She just turned two last week and she is the only person I know who doesn't know that anything is wrong, period, full stop. Like she doesn't know there's any turmoil in the world. She doesn't know there's any turmoil, period. So being around someone like that really helps me stay present and joyful and hopeful. So I am well mostly because of her sweet spirit.
Oh my goodness. Happy belated to Morrison. That's so sweet.
Are the terrible twos true? I've never really interacted with a child like.
Yeah, they're great. You should. I highly recommend it, Connor. I hadn't either. I was always just like, very cute. And yours. Yeah. No, I liked kids. I just didn't understand it. And now anybody asks me how I am and I immediately show a picture of my kid.
I know. I was never like a babysitter. I never really had like young
me
cousins
neither.
As an adult. So like, it is a genuine curiosity for me.
Yeah, I like kids. I just have never, I've never been into them until now. And she's fascinating, dude. Again, she really, she's just full of joy and curiosity. Everything is fun. I walked in with balloons for her birthday and she just flipped out. She was like, what is this? What are these? I was like, you're right. Balloons are dope. Like it's fun to see something through her eyes, you know, but the terrible twos are starting. And it's just like, if she wants an apple and I cut it the wrong way, she'll just start crying. You know what I mean? She's like, not like that. Like I just cut it wrong. But I will, to her credit, she recovers pretty quickly. You know what I mean? She'll start sobbing, and then I'm like, peanut butter? She's like, sure. Like, she'll suck it up. She'll recover quickly.
Oh my goodness. That's so adorable. So when is her birthday officially?
Her birthday is February 7th and my wife's is February 14th. So it's been big birthdays this week in the house.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. A lot of love. A lot of good things to celebrate amidst all of the craziness, like you did acknowledge.
That's right, Dylan.
Yeah. And you know, it's in times like these, I always think like the only time I can truly unplug my brain is when I am consuming art or going to the theater. Although sometimes it causes me to engage with, sure, you know, for example, I was in Cleveland over the weekend visiting my parents and I saw the Suffs tour and I couldn't help but think about you while I was watching it. She did your role justice. She
Mariah Grande. She's awesome. She's been a friend of mine for years and years and she is such a badass. That whole tour, they're amazing. I saw them, yes, before they went out on the road. Me and a bunch of the original Broadway cast came to their final rehearsal in the rehearsal room to see them. And I, wow, just think they're phenomenal. The tour's doing great.
Yes, definitely. And the audience in Cleveland was very engaged with the material, which made me very happy.
That makes me happy too, Dylan.
I know. Dylan texted me at intermission. He was like, well, I've been sobbing.
You know, oh, that's awesome.
It's feels timely all the time, which I guess is kind of sad, but also powerful. And I especially really loved that number that was your number. Will for always be your number. Is it called This Girl?
It's a good one. It's a good one. It's a really, really good one. You know, I'm crafting. You'd mentioned my concert at 54 Below, and I'm crafting right now which songs I want to sing. And I like to do a healthy dose of musical theater, but now I'm moving into pop stuff as well. And I was like, oh, I need to do something from Suffs. And I thought, I think that I'm going to do Finish the Fight. I was like, I can sing. I don't have to sing just This Girl. I don't have to just sing the songs that I've sung. I'm going to sing one of Shayna's songs. So yes. I'm stoked to start working on it.
Oh, that'll be so good. What songs do you think your fans usually expect to hear from you when they go to a Jen Colella concert?
They like that Me in the Sky one. They want to hear that one. They enjoy great. That one. All Falls Down is another one that people enjoy hearing. And then the real theater fans know that I was a second cover to Idina Menzel on If Then, and that I went on one Wednesday matinee. And so I will sometimes sing Always Starting Over from If Then, which is a great, great ballad.
Oh, absolutely.
That story about you going on, I remember hearing it told years ago. Do you mind sharing that even just briefly now?
On the drama podcast? Talk about drama. Absolutely. Drama. I can remember I got the call just a couple of hours before the matinee, and I had been rehearsing, but never with the orchestra and never with lights and never with costume. And if you recall that role, she plays two different characters. And so it's pretty intricate as far as like exits and entrances. And I just remember being absolutely terrified, but trying to trust myself, trying to keep the voice in my head positive, but I was real, real nervous. And the first entrance is up high on this bridge. And it's like this beautiful overture, and then a spotlight hits, and it's designed to be a star entrance for Idina. Spotlight hits, she's on the phone, she goes, hi, it's me. And the audience just loses their minds, right? So I'm on this bridge, just like shaking, trembling, the spotlight hits me, and I was like, hi, it's me. Like, don't worry, it's not her. It is me. And in fact, Anthony Rapp always points this out when he sees me and reminds me that like, it was a very warm ovation. I remember lots of friends came, Broadway.com like shut down half of their offices and came, my agents came, Christian Borle, whom I was dating at the time, came. Y'all want drama? I'll give you the drama.
That's an unheard tidbit to me.
Get
so
it.
I'm shaking.
Get in there, boys. yeah, I'm mostly straight, not entirely. Mostly gay, not entirely. It's men like Christian Borle that make me not entirely gay. I got through the show clumsily. I remember exiting in the wrong wing and being like, gosh, there should be a lot of people here for like a costume change, and then looking around the corner and there's people with bright lights and socks, and I'm like, oh shit, I'm supposed to be over there. But it was beautiful. The cast was very supportive. I'm so glad that I got to do it once and that I was able to help the show and keep it going in that way. And Adina came back that night, mercifully.
Oh my goodness. What a thrill.
What was the wig situation for you as Elizabeth?
It was long. It was very long and flowy, and like, it was great, but like in my hair, I'm not used to it. I'm sure the whole time I was like, what am I wearing and what is in my face? I was not a poised Elizabeth.
It's a lot of glasses on, glasses off, right? Isn't that the switcheroo?
It was a lot of that, but I got to like make out with James Schneider, which was super fun, and sing in sweet Anthony Rapp's face, which was also fun. It was great. It was great.
Oh my goodness.
Just great and terrifying.
Theater magic. You know, he has that great song, Hey Kid. I'm sure that now it takes on a whole other meaning now for you.
Dylan, I listened to that right before my daughter was born and like lost it like a week before she was born. I remember standing in the middle of 8th Avenue and just like sobbing. I was like, this was a mistake. I made a mistake. I did not listen to this.
Are there any other songs that have taken on new meanings now that you're a mother?
So many. I mean, all of it. I mean, it's kind of like when you're gay and you see other gay people in the street and you give the nod, you know what I mean? The like, homos. And you say to whoever you're with, homo, we're like lesbian. Yeah. So that's, there's like a parent code too. Like you see parents and like, so parents are all looking out for each other and we can notice each other. And so songs like Brandi Carlile, I just saw her in concert this past weekend. You know, she has a song called Mother. And I've done it in some of my concerts and I can barely get through it. I mean, it's just wild. But songs that I've been singing for years and years and years are changing now because I am a parent. It's really beautiful.
I'm really happy for you. Yeah, Brandi Carlile. Have you ever done The Story by Brandi Carlile?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh. You kidding? 100%.
Maybe epic. A little Brandi in your 54 Below concert?
Maybe Dylan. I should.
Okay, so would you say that an intimate evening of lesbian singing show tunes is a good way to describe this upcoming concert?
Yes, I love it so much. I was worried that 54 Below had kind of marketed it as just like a journey through all of my roles that I've played, but I recently wrote a show called Big Dyke Energy that has just like my kind of all of my really transformational relationships within my lesbian life, from a little baby dyke to the older, wiser lesbian owl than I am now. And so I'm hoping to kind of mash it all together. I want this to feel like kind of a journey of a roadmap of the shows that I've done in musical theater, but also some of the songs that have helped shape me and get me to where I am.
Going to be amazing. So it's sort of an evolution of the previous show that you did. Okay.
I think so.
So brand new,
I think
so. In a way. It's new for audiences. So
for sure. You got to come. I'm going to sing a lot of some of the stuff you want to hear, but I've got some new stuff for sure.
Any special guests or anything like that cooking, or is it?
I was thinking about that. You know, Lauren Patton and I are going to do Next 10 Minutes at Broadway Backwards, which I host every year. Yes. And they're doing a best of this year. I think maybe it's like a 20-year reunion and they're like doing best of. And she and I did a Next 10 Minutes that people love. So maybe I can convince Lauren to come and sing with me. That would be dope.
That would be so
She's going to be back on Broadway this spring. In
she sure is.
Becky Shaw, right? Is that what it's called?
She's a rock star. Yeah.
So yes, truly a rock star. That's amazing. Okay. And so it's just the two nights. I'm remembering, did you do New Year's Eve at 54?
I have a couple times.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure that was fun.
It's super fun. What's cool now is that not only do I not have to just do musical theater, but I have a full band. So I have backup singers. I've got horns. I've got violin, fiddle. You know, I've got a full sound and this great MD, Chris Ranney, whom I stole from Come From Away. He was the associate musical director from Come From Away, and he does all the arrangements and is just an extraordinary band leader. So like, it's fun to, I like doing intimate evenings with just piano as well, but it's nice to have a full band sound and be able to rock out.
I cannot wait. It's going to be absolutely amazing.
Are you going to come? You got to come.
My plan is to come to New York at the end of March. And so this might just come out perfectly.
Oh, yes. I would love it.
Oh my God. Dylan, wait, that'd be so fun. I love that. This could like be the centerpiece little.
That'd be cute.
I know. I know.
I love it. Okay. So Jen, you mentioned Come From Away and we were talking about Me in the Sky. This show has life all over now. I mean, I feel like I see a different person holding up a Playbill pick or, you know, a program pick somewhere around the country every other day of another production of Come From Away that's happening. When I watched it for the first time on Broadway through tears, obviously, I knew that it was just one of those shows that was going to stick around. That is your impact. I mean, legendary. And the fact that it got filmed. Oh my God. It's just such a beautiful gift. Thank you for Come From Away.
What a sweet thing to say, Connor. I feel lucky that I got to be a part of it. And yes, you're not wrong. It has been the most regionally produced show this past year.
Really?
Okay. It's just been thrilling. You can't imagine the amount of cameos that I've done for a cast. It's been so awesome. Yeah, I feel deeply fortunate. I mean, you thank me for being a part of it, but I continue to be so grateful that I got to be a part of it and that the message of that show lives on through all these productions. It makes me really, really happy.
Yes. It is the kind of show that we need right now too. It's so interesting how art will reflect the times, you know, Suff's being a great example of that too, but you know, Come From Away was during the first, you know, almost 10 years ago during the first time we were going through.
I feel like we need a reunion. How long does it, or like a revival, how long does it have to be before a revival actually makes an impact?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I think it depends on the show. Yeah.
Didn't Spring Awakening come back within 6-7 years, didn't it?
Did it? Yeah. How did it do? How did it do?
Not. It was the Death West production, okay. So I know it was like a limited run.
I think it was limited. Yeah, limited.
Thank you, Dylan.
I got you.
Way to save it.
I got you. Yeah. I got you. The cast of Come From Away, the original cast, I remember a lot of you stayed with the piece for a long time once it did come to Broadway. That's really special.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, and we're still very tight. I mean, I'm still on a text thread with them. I talk to them. Caesar and I, Samayoa, we're going to have lunch tomorrow. Like, you know, I'm tight with them. Yeah, I did the show over 1,200 times in total. And yeah, so it's everybody stayed with it because not just because it was a hit, but because it's a true story about kindness. And many of us felt like our art was aligned with what we believe in, which is a wonderful feeling to have as a person.
Absolutely. How early on in Come From Away's developmental process did you become attached to it?
Very early. I mean, at the beginning, the very first production that they did in La Jolla, I was there. So I did La Jolla, Seattle, DC, Toronto, Gander, and then the Broadway.
Wow. Oh, so good. What's your favorite song from it?
Gosh, I love, it's so interesting because I wouldn't call myself a religious person. I'm like a spiritual person, but I think prayer is just so special because it's these different people who believe in different things and who worship different things all coming together, and just the vibration of connection and hopefulness in a very peaceful place. It gave me chills every night. I love prayer.
We need that right now, honestly.
I think so too.
Oh, I was going to say that Gander production. So was that like a full run, or that was for a lot of the people who were actually in the show, right?
It was for all of Gander. All of Gander came. It was just like a staged, you know, kind of, we didn't do the whole thing. It was just like a staged concert version. And I will never forget, we were a little nervous because we didn't know how they would receive us. And they were nervous, I think, because sometimes they can be like the butt of jokes from people who live in Canada, because they're kind of off to the side. Newfoundland's like way out there. So I think they were nervous about how they would be portrayed. And when we first sang Welcome to the Rock, they leapt up onto their feet and started stomping the ground in a way that shook the stage. And we all immediately burst into tears. It was one of the most genuinely, like, it was just a simultaneous genuine moment that happened between them and us. I will never forget the feeling of it. We looked at each other like, what is happening? It was this explosion of energy and love and trust that manifested with this like vibration of clapping and cheering and stomping. It was awesome.
I cannot even imagine. That gave me chills to just hear you tell that story.
It was nuts. It was nuts. It was very cool.
I remember a lot of cool people came to see it on Broadway too. Like it was like the show to see. I remember Justin Trudeau came. Like it was an exciting moment.
Justin came, Hillary came a bunch of times. We had tons of people come. It was beautiful. Yeah, there were lots of celebrities that came and they would never just come and then leave. They really wanted to come and hang out. I remember randomly I performed at the Public Theater, some gala, and Antonio Banderas was there. And I had met him just in passing. And he was like, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I'm an actor. I'm in a show. He's like, I'm coming. And I was like, okay. And he called our press reps and they were like, Antonio Banderas wants to come see the show. He says you invited him. I was like, I did. I didn't think he would come. He came and he came backstage. And then he's like, we're going out. Yes. And I was like, 100% Antonio Banderas. We're definitely going out. And I went out with him and his now bride and had this great evening out with Antonio Banderas. And I attribute it to the show, to come from, it was because of, you know, people just ride out of that theater on a high. And it celebrities were, you know, definitely taken on the ride as well. So I really attribute that one night. I remember like getting in my car afterward and be like, bye Antonio Banderas. I knew I'd never see him again. Like it was just this awesome night that I have with him because we come from what?
Wow. Oh. Now you did see Hillary again. You saw her many times after that. She became a producer of Suffs. And I mean, that is just so wild.
Isn't that beautiful? Yes. Yeah. It's extraordinary. I remember Bill, funny, Bill and Hillary came and Bill and I were talking backstage after one of the performances. And he said, this has given her such life, such hope. You know, a lot of the things she deals with can be a little hard. And he's like, this is like helping her get out of bed in the morning and giving her something to look forward to. It's been wonderful. And I remember her sitting in rehearsal just being like, wow. I was like, yeah, this isn't some meeting about something awful. She gets to like hear women's voices raise up in song about standing up for our rights. It was cool to have somebody from a different world come in and be so close to a project like that.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, for sure. And Suffs, you know, the Broadway run of Suffs was during a very interesting time in our country's political and, you know, cultural.
Indeed, Connor. Indeed.
I mean, the whole lead up, you know, we had Biden dropping out of the race. We had Harris having that magical moment. Oh my God, that summer was just so exciting. Oh my God. It was a Sunday. I'll never forget the day that I think either that Biden dropped out, right? Was a Sunday. And then we were like,
that's
oh,
right.
Harris is going to run. Harris is
that's
happening.
Right.
And there was a video, right? Of you all.
Yeah, that's
Suffs.
Right. It was that day. I, you know, the curtain comes up and I'm standing alone on stage and they started chanting Kamala, Kamala, while just me standing on stage, like holding it like this, which was nuts. I mean, I started to get moved and the girls behind me started to get moved. I'll never forget it. And then, you know, the night of the election, we were actually performing, watching the election results come in, but we were so joyful. We were convinced that Kamala was going to win. We were mm-hmm. absolutely convinced. And so it was just this powerful show where all of the lyrics and everything we said just had this hopeful meaning behind it. And then the next day was a Wednesday matinee and Trump was declared the president. And we were like, how do we do this? How do we do this matinee? And you know what, gentlemen, the audience held us up. The audience was even more like, they were so sweet and so supportive. The lyrics changed again. Like never before have I been in a piece of art where it's shifted so rapidly, literally from day to day, depending upon what was going on in the zeitgeist. And it was reflected on that day in a way that I thought was going to be terrifying, but the audience, because of their reaction to us, made it more hopeful. It was really beautiful.
Oh, wow. I mean, the lyrics of Keep Marching alone, you know, those are just already mean so much. And to think about the idea of the gains will feel small, the losses large, like it all probably really was resonating.
every single time we ever sang it. And I was with that project for 7 years. So again, watching it change and grow and morph into what it became, and watching the brilliance of Shayna Taub shift and create and let this thing be what it needed to be was an incredible thing to have a front row seat to.
Wow. You tend to originate almost all of the roles. I mean, I think you've originated everything you've done on Broadway. You've probably been a part of a lot of creative processes.
Indeed. Yes, I have had the good fortune to originate all of my Broadway roles. So I like to come in from the very beginning and see this thing through from the ground up. If I believe in something, I really stay with it.
Has there been any projects throughout, you know, of the, we'll say of the Broadway ones, that changed completely from beginning to then what ultimately ended up on Broadway?
Well, we were talking about If Then, you know, when I started with that project, I was a different character. I was the character of Kate. Actually, it read, the character read Jen in the original script. Then they changed that character's name to Kate. I played Kate for many, many years. And I got a call from David Stone, the producer. And he said, you know, we can't have three white leads. We can't have you, Adina, and Anthony as three white leads for New York Story. And in my head, I was like, oh no, what's going to happen to Anthony? Like, I just couldn't imagine that I was going anywhere. And then he said, so we got LaShawn's to play it. And I was like, Anthony's role? That's so strange. And then it dawned on me, no, they're saying I am no longer one of the leads of the show. So I thought I was going to be completely out of it. And then Tom Kitt called me the next day and said, we can't imagine this without you. I want to write another role for you. And that's when he wrote the role of Anne, who plays LaShawn's wife. And that's when he asked if I would be Adina's second cover. And I was like, that is terrifying. But yes, I just put me in the game, coach. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So that was a big change.
Huge. Oh,
I feel goodness. Like there's something to be said about, I might not say this exactly the right way, but like ego kind of coming into it and thinking like, oh my gosh, well, I built this character and now I'm standing 5 feet away watching them sing my song. You know, I really give you so much credit. It says a lot about you, Jen, to be able to push through that probably initial, oh no, what's happening here, to, you know, continue to be a part of the process.
That's so sweet of you to say, but it's kind of a muscle that we have to learn how to grow and flex. You know, this releasing of the ego is very, very important. I remember for Chaplin, I had done all of the workshops and every single reading they'd ever done. And the director called and said, I just want you to know that we're opening up to cast your role. Like, we're gonna open up casting, and we're gonna open it up to like celebrities and a bunch of people for your role. And I remember there was a moment where I could have been like, are you kidding me? And like, I'll say all the things that the most terrified part of me wanted to say. And I took a breath and said, I totally understand. I trust that I'm the right one for this role. But I wish you the best, and I hope that it comes back. And it did. So like, it also serves you to take care of the people around you so that they want to be near you.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing. Wait, I guess, speaking of Chaplin, I'm curious about that experience because, you know, we spoke with Rob about it. I feel like he told us about everyone got a tattoo or something like that in the cast.
We did. Mine is white, so it's hard to see.
Oh, okay.
But it's of the hat and the mustache. We got it in his dressing room by this woman named Friday Jones. Yes. Yeah, it was awesome. It was really one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. A bunch of us got it. Yeah, so lots of screaming coming out of Rob McClure's dressing room that night.
Do you have any other tattoos?
I do. I've got tons of tattoos. I would have more if I didn't do what I do. But I have a star tattoo on my arm that Jason Robert Brown loves to give me shit for, because underneath the star is the Phantom of the Opera mask, which is the first show I ever saw when I was a kid. So when I was 18, after I saw Phantom of the Opera, I like got this as like a symbol of my dedication to the craft. Yes. You understand?
Oh yeah.
And then my very first Broadway show was Urban Cowboy at the Broadhurst, which is right next door to the Phantom. And I thought, well, I can't be a leading lady with the Phantom of the Opera tattoo. So me and another cast member went and got stars. Actually, yesterday was the 23rd anniversary of us getting the star tattoo.
Wow.
Which is just so beautiful. Because of like, it was my first starring role, the Lone Star State to represent Urban Cowboy. And I also love that stars represent guidance and light. So I'm super happy to have the star tattoo. But every time Jason Robert Brown sees me, he pokes at it and goes, "The Phantom of the Opera." He thinks it's so funny.
Oh, that's good. Okay, wait. So do you have a favorite Jason Robert Brown song to sing? I mean,
I don't mean this as a flex, but he wrote, you know, he was the musical director for Urban Cowboy. Tom Kitt was the associate musical director, and he wrote me a song called Hop Along Heartbreak, which I still love to perform. I just performed with Jason a couple months ago and we did Hop Along. And I love it. I love to sing it so much. I also sang Cassandra, and that shit was hard. That shit was real hard.
Real tough. I can't even imagine. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Real tough.
Yeah. No, wait. Now, Jen, you mentioned Phantom of the Opera was your first Broadway show that you saw. We do like to kind of go back to, you know, maybe your roots or think about a time when you were kind of still discovering the arts. And we call it a Ring of Peace moment. It's reflected from that idea of seeing yourself in something and wanting to be a part of it. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment as it pertains to a life of the arts?
That's so interesting. I love this question. And I love that you're calling it Ring of Keys. My earliest memory of connecting the vibration of happiness to music, I was actually like 5 or 6 and my mom was holding me and I had my arms and my legs wrapped around her and she was singing Barbra Streisand. She was singing Evergreen by Barbra Streisand. And I remember she was so happy and her voice sounded so beautiful and it blended so beautifully with this other voice, Barbara's voice that I heard. And I can remember attributing that vibration, the vibration of their voices, to happiness, to like, oh, this is something worth chasing. This is something worth doing. And so I started singing with my mom as often as I could from that moment on and kind of obsessed with Barbra. So early stages, I think that's my original Ring of Keys moment.
Oh, that's really beautiful. How old did you say you thought you were at that moment?
5 or 6.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
And is your mom, is she a singer or was it just sort of like a, you know, sing songy around the house thing?
Absolutely. She's got a really, really beautiful voice. Definitely get it from her.
So then from there, were you just like always interested in performing?
Then
singing,
it was all, consuming? It was like choir. Then I was like all choir all the time. I was a total choir nerd. Yeah. I had my first solo not too long after that. Like I was 7 or 8 and I played the auctioneer in the school musical called The Small One about the donkey that takes Mary to Bethlehem. Hello, public school, South Carolina.
Yes.
And I remember like holding this microphone that was the length of my entire body and I had to step up on a box because I was so little. But I was like, $20, give me 20. Who's going to give me 20? Who's going to be the one I want to hear $20 bid? Like I crushed it. I was just like, I got this. I remember seeing my mom's face in the audience, just like, what is happening? And I was like, that's right. It was this moment of being like, oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to do this. This feels great.
So you said choir, but when did like theater come into it too? Or were you like a theater nerd as a kid?
Theater came a little later for me because there wasn't that much theater where I grew up. Small town, Somerville, South Carolina. There was a woman who like taught drama out of her garage and I became a part of her troupe and like played Gertie in Oklahoma on a stage that had like carpet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
but that was my first, I was like, oh, okay, now I can be a little bit of like the theater group that wasn't just choir, but it wasn't until high school. Interestingly enough, Oklahoma was like the first show that I did. And I'm directing that this summer, which I'm stoked about, back home in South Carolina, in Hilton Head Island, where my family is. Isn't that amazing? I'm stoked. Oh, it's my first directing gig. I can't believe it.
That is so exciting.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
I feel like this is a big moment.
I feel like it is too. I can't wait. I'm nervous. Obviously, I want to do right by these people. And the only thing I know that I want is that Judd needs to be hot. That's the only thing that I feel really, really secure on.
Yes, I support that directorial choice.
Judd needs to be an option. Like, yeah, for sure. They always play him as like creepy. You're like, no, he's got to be an option. He's misunderstood, yes, but he's got to be an option.
You're blowing my mind right here. Yeah. For as many times as I've seen Oklahoma, I've never had this take come to my mind. He's just always felt kind of like the bad guy. But you're right. The tension has to exist.
Of course. Of course.
Wow. How did this come to be that you were going to be directing?
A dear friend of mine, Ben, who runs this theater program, SSTI, that I've taught for them many, many summers. I teach all over. I teach at Columbia University. I teach at Pace University. I teach master classes all over. And I have taught for him many summers, and he's invited me to direct before, and I've been too scared to commit. And I finally just kind of took a breath and said yes this time. So I'm excited to do it.
Oh my gosh. So are you going to move the family to Hilton Head Island for a little while?
For a little bit, for a couple of weeks. Yeah. Yes. A few weeks we'll be down there, which would be great because my whole family lives there. My extended family, my mom and my dad and my stepmom and my brothers and my aunt. So I'll get to be home and do something new and exciting. I'm really stoked. Thanks for asking me about it and talking to me about it.
That's so cool. Okay, wait. So Jen, I'm curious. You mentioned earlier you're mostly gay, and we were just talking about Ring of Keys. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment in your life when you realized that gay part of you?
Oh, God. So many of them. I mean, y'all might be too young for this, but there was a show called Facts of Life.
I've heard of it.
And so this, I think the actress's name is Nancy McKeon. She played Jo. She was like the tough one with like the leather jacket. She made me feel funny, boys. She was the first one that was like, uh-oh, wait a minute, shoot. And I didn't know if I wanted to be her or if I wanted to make out with her, but she definitely made me feel funny, for sure, for sure, for sure. And then, yeah, there's all these different moments, you know what I mean? In art that I was watching, either theater or television, like if it was a man and a woman, like I was always the guy, like kissing the girl. And I was like, why do I always imagine myself in that? So interesting. But like, didn't really have a vocabulary for it. I didn't know where to put those feelings for a long time because it just wasn't spoken about in the South. So it just, there were all these moments that popped up, but I kind of suppressed them, you know?
Yeah. 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 Well, it's tough too with like, I mean, total lack of representation out there in general, you know, there's like, you can probably name three, like, you know, probably at that time too, but even now it's like, where do you look to? And
yeah, no, during that time, there were no, if there were gay people, then they were not treated well. So even if I had come out, like I it would have been even harder. You know what I mean? For me to, I went to a very big high school. There were 721 people in my graduating class. You know, I was already in the choir, so not like the coolest. But I got good grades, and I kind of walked the line of being like teacher's pet and class clown and just like funny, which is how I got people to just kind of gravitate towards me. But had I come out or like been able to voice these things, it would not have gone well, not back then, which is sad.
So did you move to New York City kind of right, like as soon as you could get out? Was it New York right away for you?
I actually, I moved to Columbia, South Carolina first to go to undergrad. I got my undergrad, my degree there. And then I worked in the only professional theater company at the time called Trustus Theater in South Carolina, which is where I really discovered how to be a professional, how to hone my craft. And then I went to grad school. I went to the University of California at Irvine to get my master's degree. And so I was in Cali for a while, did stand up in Hollywood, and then came to New York to do Urban Cowboy.
Okay.
Nice.
That's
nice.
So cool. Yes. I've heard in a few interviews, you talk about the stand up. A lot of people love to ask you about the stand up experience. And I guess I'm wondering in this 54 Below Cabaret, you going to try out any material, bring it back? Or
that's the part that I love about cabaret, Dylan, is that it just feels like I'm doing stand up and then I start singing, you know, it really helps me out. There's tons, you've seen it. My stand up is exactly what I do in my cabaret, but then I break out in the song. It's much better than my stand up act, quite honestly, because there's music.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Okay, wait. So we read in our credits here that you were in Fun Home at some point. What stage of the show was that?
We did a production of it in a funeral home, which was really, really cool, with an amazing cast. It was Will Swenson and like Kate Baldwin and it was ridiculous. We had so many extraordinary people, and I knew at some point I would play that role. You know, Lisa was there and everybody came. I knew that I would play that role at some point, and this just seemed like such a cool opportunity with this cast in this setting. Yeah, thank God. I would love to play it again. You know, Beth Malone and I went to grad school together. And no so way. We are super tight, and we have been up for the same roles for the last 30 years, which is a huge compliment to me. And so I revere her and her work and that work very much, that show. And so I loved doing it. I would love to do it again. I think it's an extraordinary piece.
Yes. I would love to see you do it. So if there's any producers out there listening,
let's put that out in the universe, Dylan. Let's go.
Yes.
Listen, you're booked this summer, but right after that, maybe, you know.
Right after that.
Yeah.
Right after that.
I love that you have played gay roles on stage, and I completely forgot Carrie Chapman Catt. There's like a lesbian storyline that happens there.
Oh, she's a gay. Oh, yeah. She is a gay. 100%.
I completely forgot. I was gagging. Isn't that amazing? The other night.
Yeah, she's buried with her wife, Molly Hay. You can see them up in the Bronx. They're like buried together. Wasn't that sweet?
Molly is also a character in the show. Yeah.
Molly played my partner in the show. And you see at the end that she was more than just like my work partner, that they lived together. They were partners. Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. I do keep getting cast in these like lesbo roles. And my wife recently was talking about this and like, do you want to be pigeonholed in that way? I'm like, 100%. Of course, pigeonhole away. I'm not worried that people don't know about my versatility or that I can do other things. Like if there are gay roles and I have the opportunity to play a gay woman and be visible right now, then please pigeonhole me. I'm happy to do it, honored to do it.
Yes, that's that representation too. You know, people will see that and that's amazing.
It makes a big difference.
Yes. Speaking of gay roles, I remember this rumor, and we can cut this if it's not true or you can't talk about it or anything like that.
Okay.
There's this rumor that at one point they tried out a gay version of Company and you were in it. Is this true?
I like this rumor. I like what's happening. I think I know what this is. I auditioned to play the role that was Marta. I forget what her new name was, in this most recent version with Katrina Link.
Yes.
So it would have been like the two boyfriends and then me. So it was down to me and like Bobby Conti, who's a dear friend of mine.
Yes, of course.
But yes, they thought for a second, oh, maybe she'll go this way.
Okay, that's what it was then. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
But ooh, an all gay company would be so dope. Like, right? I would like to play that role, Bobby, but she's lesbian. It's not like then you don't change anything. Let's make that happen.
That would be so good. I need to hear you sing Marry Me a
Being
Little.
Alive. Oh, Marry Me a Little. Let's go, Connor. Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
So good. Are you a Sondheim?
Especially because I get married so much.
Oh.
I marry me a lot. I am a Sondheim girly. I am.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's no better. He's the king. He's the king.
What's your favorite?
I mean, Being Alive is up there. Mm-hmm. Being Alive is really, really up there. Interestingly enough, I also love I Know Things Now.
Mm.
I find it to be, it's not just like some cute little, it's actually brilliantly written and there's so much to explore within that song that one pops out at me as one that is like kind of tossed to the side as something cute, but it is a fantastic, like perfect song.
Yeah. It's profound for sure.
It's profound.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of those in Into the Woods where you're
oh my God.
Whoa.
You know, I hadn't seen Into the Woods until this most recent awesome version. I went with Bobby Conti. We had an edible and I was so excited because I was like, oh my God, I finally get to see this. And act one ended. And I thought that was the end of the show. I was like, that is delightful. What is it? Like, yes, it's sweet, but like how sweet. And he said, no, there's a whole act two. I was like, right. There's an act two. And I sat down and act two started and everybody started getting killed. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But I was like, you've got to be fucking, I couldn't believe that it took the turn that it did the giant and everything. I was like, wait a minute. He meant literal fucking giants in the sky. Sorry to curse. It was an exciting moment for me realizing the scope and the breadth of Into the Woods, having not seen it before.
Hilarious.
I'm obsessed with that. Amazing. Oh my God, Jen, I feel like we could chat with you forever and ever. You have such great stories and you're so open and just so lovely. We're sadly wrapping up. I'm sobbing.
Okay. Let's wrap it up. We're friends now, though.
We're friends.
Yeah, true. We got to have an Antonio Banderas style night. Okay.
100.
We'll go full Banderas. So before we say goodbye, we do end with a dose of drama. This is that little dose of pop culture or life happening or whatever that we just have to get off our chests and out onto the pod to live forever. It could be like that show you're binging, book you're reading, life thought, et cetera, et cetera. Dylan, do you want to start today?
Yes. Okay. I don't know, Jen, if you've watched the show. I don't know if you have time to watch TV shows. Okay. You're a little busy. But this show, Industry, on HBO is so incredible. And I know I've mentioned it on here before. It is one of the best shows I've ever seen. But you really have to lock in. You really have to pay attention. And what they're doing is crazy this season. Jon Snow from Game of Thrones is in it. Kit Harington. It's amazing. And I really, really recommend it. It's keeping me distracted from wedding to-dos. We'll put it that way. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, really that is exciting. I need a new show, so that's thrilling.
It's a little bit of a hard sell, I would say, but if you vibe with it, it's a fun ride.
I trust you.
Yeah, and there's a few seasons out there too, so it could be like a fun binge. You know, you've got a few. Yeah.
I love it. Okay.
Yeah, you got a few on the list. Okay, wait. So I'm currently obsessed with this fitness instructor influencer named Kendall O'Toole, who's going viral for a Peloton video, a clip of her. She is woke. She is so inspiring. She left Peloton over a year ago and she started her own fitness company, but she's famous for the meme that's going around where like somebody joined her class and they had a racist username and she was like, get them banned, get them off the app, get them out of here. We don't do that here. And now people are going through her clips and finding all these absolutely iconic catchphrases and things that she's saying. She's kind of changing I feel like she came into my life at the right moment. So everyone has got to follow Kendall O'Toole on Instagram and TikTok because she is everything. She's so inspiring and fun. Love her. Jen, do you have
thank you for
drama?
That tidbit. I can't wait to follow her.
Yeah, I think you'll love
her. I love this. What a great way to end this. This is awesome. This is thrilling. I have two. Okay. The first, I have to say it because we're all talking about it. And I, if I'm being honest, which I've been honest this whole time, I have to say what's in my heart. And that is Heated Rivalry. Like, well, yes. I'm sure you've had people mention this. I'm sure you've mentioned it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially now that we've learned that dude is straight. I mean, I wish him well, but I feel disappointed and I don't want that to be the case. I want him to be whoever he is, but I was so, it was like when I found out the Indigo Girls weren't together. Like, I'm so sad that he's not gay. I believe he has gay in his heart. I believe he's not entirely
maybe mostly straight.
I think he's mostly straight. I hope for him that he's mostly straight. Okay. So just Heated Rivalry. I think it's important. I think it's an important part of the zeitgeist right now because it is showing men being vulnerable in their desire. And I just think that that gives hope and it's so beautiful. But there's another show that is under the radar that is not as popular that I really believe in. And it's called Dying for Sex with Michelle Williams. It is beautiful. It is surprising. And the writing is stunning. And at the heart of it is about a friendship more than anything else. And I just highly, highly recommend that series.
I love her. I love everything she does. So thank you for that recommendation.
Absolutely.
It got nominated for like either Golden Globes or Emmys or something. And I remember hearing the name and being like,
yeah, get back in there. Get back in there, Dylan. I'm going to industry. You go to Dying for Sex.
All right. All right. Deal.
And I'll just rewatch Heated Rivalry again and again and again. So as if I haven't already.
I will too. I don't watch a lot of things over and over again, but I'm going to watch that again.
So good.
Well, while everyone is, you know, checking out all these shows, they also need to go on the internet and buy their tickets to Jen Colella, 54 Below, March 27th and 28th. Jen, this was so much fun. Thank you for spending time with us. We really appreciate
it. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your kindness. Thank you for taking such good care of me. I'm really grateful for you.
Oh,
thank you. We love you. We're honored.
It's an honor. Yeah.
I love you back.
Oh, and you're on Instagram at just Jen Colella, right?
That's right.
Perfect. Yes. Well, everyone's following Jen. They've got to follow us. We're at the Drama Podcast. Connor is at Connor McDowell. I am at Dylan McDowell. When y'all are hearing this, I'll be a married lady. And that's crazy. Okay. Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.